college tuition since 1983 is up 822%.
Jeez.
That is unbelievable.
Housing prices, 161. And even medical, so everybody thinks, well, medical inflates more than anything else. And it does inflate a lot. And we account for that a lot with people in retirement and things like that. That's up 435% since 1983 versus 822.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. Here in mid-Michigan, with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
Welcome back into the Retirement Cafe. I'm Ben George, along with Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. Guys, how you doing?
Great. Great.
Today, we're talking about college debt. This is a big problem, I think, in our country. I think everybody's well aware of it. It's become a platform for politicians. But beyond that, it is an issue for a lot of people, both parents and kids that are going into college, getting out of college with a lot of student debt. So we want to help people with avoiding this big problem. If we can give any kind of tips to help them save some money, not have to go out of pocket and build up this debt, because it is a huge issue. We want to help them with that today on the show. So I'm looking forward to this conversation. And I guess this is one that you guys are heavily involved in that college planning process, right, with your clients?
Yeah, we do. We do quite a bit of work here in late stage college planning, just helping families, you know, make a really good decision when it comes to picking a school and making sure, you know, that they have a way to pay for it, because it is a huge issue.
Yeah, and I mean, the good news is that there are some really great things you can do to put your family in a lot better situation. Because, you know, I think some people just feel like, oh, it just is what it is.
Yeah, or they're like, I'm so far behind in saving that the only option that I could possibly have is just to go into debt, right?
Yep.
And so it's just like, click the easy button, take a bunch of loans, and deal with it down the road. And that's what we want to help you try to avoid.
Very good. And I love that too, because I think that's the easy way out, but then it's so difficult to pay that back. You might think it's gonna happen, but once you have that debt, it just adds up and adds up. So we want to help you with that today on the show. Again, you can find us online, averywealth.com. That is the website. We also have the option to get you in and get your college report started, right? Your free college report, your college money report. All you got to do is go to yourcollegereport.com. It's a great thing, a great tool for you to use if you're in this college planning stage and thinking about college for your kids. It's kind of a great resource to kind of get you started and be thinking about some of these things. But we're going to get into all this on the show today. So we all know about this college loan crisis, right? Debt is skyrocketing. I think something's got to give at some point. But while everybody's figuring that out, we want to help you avoid making some of these common mistakes that families are making right now that's adding this college debt bill and building it up to such ridiculous levels. So let's just start off with kind of giving some context to the issue. We hear all about college debt and the problem, but do you have some numbers to kind of back up just how serious of an issue this is?
Yeah, we do. I mean, some of these are, when you see these numbers and when you hear this, it's crazy to think about how we're, or why we're in this spot, but it's, when you see it, it's pretty clear. So college tuition since 1983 is up 822%.
Jeez. That is unbelievable.
And so just to give you an idea, like gas prices are up 106%. Housing prices, 161. And even medical, so everybody thinks, well, medical inflates more than anything else. And it does inflate a lot. And we account for that a lot with people in retirement and things like that. That's up 435% since 1983 versus 822, as I said before, for college tuition.
Wow. You know, one of the things that's interesting, like I talk to my father-in-law sometimes about this. He's retired now, and he went to college in the later 60s. And he said, to be honest, we never really thought much about it because it really... Not that it was free.
Right.
But it wasn't such an expense that the average family really had to think that much about it.
Yeah.
You know, and how much it's changed through the years is incredible, because now it can be one of the, it will be one of the biggest things you ever pay for.
Yeah. And I mean, next to your house.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And some people, I mean, more than that.
Yeah.
So what's the second one? College student loans have risen 316% just since 2005. I mean, that's an incredible, incredible number. Credit card debt in that same time frame is only up 14%.
Right.
Which, I mean, really, 14% in 16 years, you know,
That's all accounted for in inflation.
Yeah, it's
just
pretty much
inflation
flat.
Alone,
mm-hmm.
Right? But the student debt And that's, you know, that's the crisis, right? Two out of five families are borrowing more than $50,000, and the average student is not retiring.
Yeah.
Oh, some maybe. Of them probably get to retirement and still have this debt, but they're graduating with nearly $34,000 in student loan debt. So that's the average. And the sad thing is a lot of these families are taking on this debt. And maybe the child doesn't even graduate.
Yes.
Right? So that's not accounting for those.
We have talked to people that happened to them. They signed, kind of co-signed on loans, and then had a bit of a falling out. And you know, with mm-hmm. their child, didn't finish college, just moved away, and they were stuck with it.
Yeah.
And it could be really, really difficult. So this stuff is ultra important to, number one, understand, and number two, just try to avoid as much as you can. You know, get your kid educated in a way that they're going to come out much better than that, for sure.
Well, those numbers, especially when you provide the context of, you know, the comparisons with other areas that haven't gone up even close to those amounts, it really opened your eyes even more. So, you know, as parents, though, we really want to help our children become successful. So we're willing to kind of take some of those risks, right? But it seems like this burden of debt could have some really long-term implications for people.
Yeah, I think, Brent, we talk a lot about starting in a hole, right?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you get out of college, it's already expensive. I mean, I just think back, and it's been a few years, but I actually had a pretty good job coming out of college, and there was a lot of sleepless nights.
Yeah.
Like, I've got my rent, and I had to get a car, and I have insurance, and all these things. And that's without having a lot of debt.
Yeah. And then you put on this massive loan, right? And that you wonder how the, and we, as parents, I mean, we're parents, right? I have a son through college, Dan has a son in college. And so we want our kids to be successful in life. You know, we want to set them up, and we feel like college is that thing that's going to separate them, or that's going to help propel them to what they want, right? But if we're not taking care of all these things with the finances of it, we may be putting them way behind where they would be otherwise. And we have some statistics on this too, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, just as a couple examples, like some of the things that it's inhibited their ability to do is invest for their own child's education, right?
Yeah.
They're still busy paying their debt off years down the road, so they don't have that money to put towards other uses. Build an emergency fund. I mean, Brent and I can't tell you how many times we've seen families, no money in the bank for emergencies, and we all know things come up. And so those end up on credit cards, and now you've got this compounding effect,
right?
With not only credit card, I mean college debt, but also credit card debt because they couldn't build their emergency fund, right? What are some of the other things, Brent?
Yeah, well, or saving for retirement. So this was a survey that JP Morgan had put together, and it found 62% of students that graduate with loan debt find that they can't save for their own retirement because they're so focused on paying off this debt. Or buying a home, 48%. And I think this is really sad. Like, and so if you think about as a parent wanting to set your son or daughter up for success, you envision them going to college, getting married, buying a house, starting a family. 19% said it's impacted their ability to start a family.
Yeah, I mean, that's, because of the cost.
It's sad.
I mean, it's really sad to think about. And we're doing this all at that. Well, we want to help them. We want to help them so badly. And we're not helping them.
Well, what's interesting about almost all these too is that time value of money.
Right.
So like when you start thinking about it, like if you get right out of college and you start saving money because you can, because you're in a situation where you can, you are so far ahead. Yeah. You know, we've ran numbers before about, you know, you don't have to save near as much in dollars to have the same amount when you get to retirement just simply because of time value of money. It's got a long time to grow. And so this is putting people behind. And it doesn't have to be that way. You know, it's affecting their overall quality of life. And that's why we're doing this show today, just to like let you know it doesn't have to be like this.
Those first three things we talked about are all, when we talk about having a foundation, a financial foundation, so having an emergency fund, saving for retirement, saving for your own kids' college education, that's generational impacts, all of those things. And so if you can't do those, you're really behind.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when you were going through that list. Like I was thinking, these are all very, very important things that everybody should be doing. And if you don't have that ability to do that, it's going to lead to struggles for a lot of your life. So that's why this is an important conversation. And you know, you want your child to go to college, right? So that's the goal, I think, for a lot of people. So what can you as parents do to help your children be successful. You know, there are some common mistakes that need to be avoided. So we got five key ways to avoid college debt today. That's what we want to go through. Give you some reasons to maybe be optimistic about the future and some things you can be doing and applying to your life to help you with this. So what's the first key, guys?
So the first key, and this is a really simple one, but it's super important. The first key is that the parents need to lead the process. And that doesn't mean that you have to go out and pick the school that your son or daughter is going to go to. But as we need to make sure that we're having these conversations ahead of time with our kids and that we're working through a lot of different things, because we know right now the way that it typically goes is, hey, Susie, you know, where do you want to go to school? And they'll name maybe their three favorite schools. Then the next step is what? Well, let's go visit those schools, right? And then you apply, you get accepted, and then it's like, oh, Susie, like, how, we've got to figure out how to pay for this, or we can't afford this. Maybe you don't even tell Susie you can't afford it.
Yeah.
And that's the process, and that just doesn't work.
Susie is emotionally attached to that school now, and it's funny because you're right. It's so odd because we don't really do that with any other thing we buy. Like like if you said, hey, Susie, what are the three cars you'd like?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I really like that Lamborghini.
Yes.
That's cool. Yeah. You know, and I mean, like, but we joke and laugh about it, but the reality is that we just don't do that way. We figure out with other things in life, kind of what do we have to work with money-wise, and then let's go figure out a good solution that fits within that, right?
Yeah.
We don't do that with college.
No. And it's really important that you do that. And then, you know, just having that conversation with your child really sets them up in a lot of ways, right? It sets them up to, you know, for one, to pick a school that they can afford. But when you start talking about money and budgets and making a sound decision, those are really valuable things and lessons that you're teaching your child right from the get-go to help them be successful in life.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I've got, like Brent was saying, I've got one in college, I've got one in 11th grade, one in 7th grade, and you know what? Every single one of them know how to use Microsoft Excel. Like, every one of them, right?
Yeah.
And so, what a great tool, right? Let's start looking at Susie. All right, this school costs $25,000 a year. Let's look at how we're going to be able to pay for that, right? And it's a process we kind of use with clients, but you know, the reality is you need to start filling in those blanks.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the bottom, you're like, oh my, that's a huge gap. Which, what's the gap mean?
That's the difference between what you have to pay. And I mean, a lot of times that's what people take in loans, right?
Yeah.
That's what you have available to you, and that's versus the cost of attendance.
Yeah. So those conversations, just helping kids to like understand money. One of the things that I think is a huge problem today, a lot of families in the U.S., you know, you have both spouses working. They do make pretty good money and they don't necessarily sit down and talk to their kids about
it.
And help them understand what it costs to pay for things. So,
yeah, just having that understanding is a huge, huge help because you just don't know. I mean, you don't know what you don't know. So that's a big part. Key number two, I'm curious on your explanation on this one because I think this is a spot that most people don't really think about when they're planning for college, but that's discovering what colleges think you can afford to pay.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Because don't you love that? They're going to tell you, hey, you know what? Hey, Brent, this is what you can afford.
Yeah.
And Brent's like, well, that's nice.
Yeah.
There's no way I can afford that.
that's exactly how it usually works, too. Like, this number, like, pops off the page at people when they see this.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, whoa, like, I would have never thought that that's the number, right?
Yeah. And so there's this forum called the FAFSA. And it's a, financial aid. It's a federal, I can't even say it now. It's basically a financial aid form that, like, basically with the federal government produces that you go through and you put in most of your financial information and it pops out a report and it says, hey, here's your expected family contribution, right? And College Board has that too, right?
You can go on for there. Private schools. There's different expected family contributions, but the reality is you just need to have an understanding of what that number is. And you can only do that when you are a senior, right?
Yeah.
So after October 1st, for either the private school version or the public school version, and there's other ones, but we're not going to get into that today. So that's pretty late in the game, right, to try to figure that out.
Yep.
And that's where our free college money report that we've talked about earlier in the show comes into play. And that'll be attached right into this podcast, so you can click on that link and get to it. And you'll put in some information. You have to put in some financial information into that. But there's no identifying factors, right? Yeah. So like you could put your first name only, but you're going to have to put how much income you make and things like that. It's a very secure site. But in order to get this information, you need to put that in, and it'll spit out what that expected family contribution is as part of the report.
Yeah. Yeah. The big thing is you don't have to worry about getting hacked or anything like that. You put a fake name if you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. But it is interesting because that is the starting point for what they think you should be able to pay.
Yeah.
Like I go back to that because then you're like, okay, wait a minute. Where do we go from here?
Yes.
And that's kind of where the planning comes into play. For sure.
So you don't have to get into it like a ton. Maybe it's a conversation for a different day. But why is it that they I'm assuming they expect you to be paying more than what you can actually afford. So why is that number so surprising most of the time for people?
It's just, I mean, the big thing is that when you look at it, I mean, it might come back that you can afford $35,000 a year, and they're like, you look at your family and you're like, there's no way we could pay that, but they are factored in, well, you should take some loans, right?
Right.
And all these other things.
Right. And what savings you should have.
Gotcha.
And it's driven by primarily your income and other assets that you have, you know, so other savings accounts, not your retirement account.
Yeah.
Often it's, the FAFSA does not include your home equity or things like that, but the other calculation does. And so there's just different factors that are in there. And that really gets to what we're going to talk about in a little bit, too, is how you can go out and look for schools that are going to be more generous for you.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, yourcollegereport.com. That's where you can start that free college money report. All right. Key number three. This one is very important. Know what you actually can afford.
That's important.
Yeah, it's really. So we know we've gotten this shocking number on what the school thinks you can afford. And then this is just a matter of, like Dan was talking about using Excel. This is just a matter of let's take inventory. And then, again, this is an incredible exercise for you and your child to do together.
Yeah.
Right. So we want to go through and look at what types of savings accounts have we saved in 529s? Do we have other savings accounts that are dedicated for that? You know, are we willing to pay for some of it with cash flow? There's different, you know, there's different things, areas, Dan, that we want to look at.
Yeah, and I think what's incredible is when you start adding it up, I mean, it is surprising how you can start filling in that need when you start factoring in things like, hey, you know, mom and dad can contribute something per month. The child that's in school can work and contribute something per month. There might be some scholarships and all different things available, which we'll get into a little bit further. But, you know, it does take away some of the fear.
Yeah.
I feel like when you get real numbers, I always say there's so much with money and like your health. And it's kind of like men don't want to go to the doctor. But like once you go for physicals and you get in that routine, it takes a lot of fear away about your health, right? Because you're like, okay, I might have this condition, but we're treating it and everything's good, you know. And it's kind of the same thing with this. It's like I'm super scared of this number. Because I have no idea how we're going to pay for it. And so it creates sleepless nights. But when you start breaking it down, you might be like, hey, you know what? I think we can do this, right?
Yeah. And that, like, I think the cash flow piece is huge, right? So think of if your son or daughter can contribute $2,500 a year. Well, if you go to school for 4 years, that's $10,000 less in loans that you would have to take. So you start putting this stuff down on paper, right? Maybe you qualify for the American Opportunity Tax Credit, which is a tax credit that, depending on your income, that you can qualify for. It's $2,500 a year. So there's all these different things that you start to be able to put in that really, they add up quickly.
They sure do.
And if you don't have a plan in place for them, you know what happens, right? Like if you don't plan on using that American Opportunity Tax Credit for that, you're going to spend it on something else. That's just how just how finance goes, right?
No, for sure. I mean, I think a good example, my son that's in college, he works a little part-time job at a grocery store, and they pay him like $10 an hour. Well, if he works, you know, 20 hours in a week, which he could do that, I mean, he just made $200 in 1 week.
Right.
And they don't owe, luckily, many taxes because, you know, their overall income's not very high. So like your example of 200, so if he took one paycheck a month, pretty much towards that would be almost $2,500.
Right.
So like that's a simple example how you can get there. But if he didn't, that would get spent on something else, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure it would.
No doubt.
Yeah. And we'd be guilty of that too, right?
Oh, like, yeah. Everybody.
Same thing with parents. I mean, so parents, a lot of parents have savings plans for 529s, right? Well, when you're child's 18 and they go to college, it's not like, well, oh, I don't have to save for the 529 anymore. Guess what? Whatever you're putting in there, that can be cash flowed into the expense of college. And so you start adding all these things up and you have this conversation. Then you begin to understand. We just call this a pre-approval number. So Dan talked about cars. Like, this is how you should shop for a school. It's like, all right, here's what schools think we can pay. Here's what we can really pay. And here's a pre-approval number. We know that we have $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a year, whatever that number is, that we can put towards college.
Yeah.
Right? And then you start to be able to become a with a plan.
Yeah, and I will tell you too, when you start looking at this, think of things, expenses you don't have because your child might not be living at home anymore. You know, there can be things that add up there too. Like if you've got a teenage boy, your grocery bill
big time, go down. Right? That's a big time difference.
Right. So in all reality, all that stuff makes a difference. You know, you start thinking about things that you were paying for. So it's just really taking inventory like you're talking about.
Absolutely. So once you know what colleges think you can afford to pay, and then once you've kind of got an understanding of what you actually can afford to pay, the next step is looking for schools that are going to be generous to your situation. And when I see that, the first thing that comes to mind is every school is different. Is that correct? I mean, I would assume that, you know, if you can get financial aid from one school, you can get it from another.
It's shocking how different they are, aren't they, Brent?
Yeah.
The reports start to show you that.
Yeah. So in the free money report that Dan's referencing, you can compare three different schools. And so what's crazy is that school A might be cheaper for Dan's family, but it's way more expensive for mine than B might be, you know. So it doesn't matter. Like, it's not the school, it's your situation. And so you begin to understand, one, if you're going to qualify for any financial aid, right? Or if not, are there merit or scholarships or grants that are available for your student, right?
Yeah.
Based on their academic resume. And you start, and you can go out and you can actually, we have software that's beyond the report that we would talk to you about, but we have the capability to go out and look for schools that are going to have, as Dan referenced before, this funding gap. So the smallest funding gap. So that means the least out of pocket for you, right? You have your pre-approval amount. You have what it's going to cost to go there. Hopefully those numbers match up and you don't have any gap. But if there is, you can look for the one that has the smallest gap.
Yeah, which, and what I like too is, like, software we use, we'll equate that to what that payment would be when you get out.
Right.
Which, that's probably my favorite thing, because it says, hey, you can go to this school and understand. Let's be honest. Most kids probably are going to have to take some kind of loan, right? I mean, some may not. But what's nice is to know, what does that mean when I graduate? Like, is that $100 a month? Is that 50? Is that $400
a month? Is it $1,000 a month?
Yeah.
Right? And so we do see scenarios where school A is going to cost somebody for 10 years $1,000 a month, right?
Yeah.
They're taking $80,000 or $90,000 in loans to go to school A. School B, they only have to take $25,000 in student loans and their loan payment's $200 a month.
Yeah.
For 10 years. I mean, when you put a child, I don't care who you are, like, that's your decision. Now you're making a decision off of real numbers.
Right.
It gives you a chance.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's really important, because a lot of people get really, you know, caught up in, well, my kid's got to go to this school, right, Ivy League or whatever it might be. Well, the truth is, in undergrad, there are a ton of really good schools out there. You get your degree, you're going to do fine.
Yes.
Now, graduate school might be a little different, but we're talking undergrad here. And so, you know, it's important to put your kid in the best possible position. And this is all part of that.
Well, you got those first four. Let's get to the fifth one. The final key to avoiding college debt. Seems simple, but it's so important that you stay on track.
Yeah. I mean, this is like, I mean, Brent and I live this every day with clients, with financial planning in general. You know, life is not static. Life's dynamic. Things change. There's adjustments you have to make. That's just part of the deal, right? That's no different with college. I mean, sometimes, many times, kids get there and realize, hey, this major was different than what I thought. You know, there's some adjustments they need to make. So the reality is you're trying to avoid the big mistake, right, Brent?
Yeah, you want to avoid, I mean, the 5 and 6 year college plan. Like, I mean, if you're the student, maybe that's fun, right? You know, I was in school for 6 years or whatever. But it's not, I mean, you're going to set yourself way behind if you're doing that. And we do understand that those changes happen. But a lot of times, if you've done the legwork ahead of time, you've had these conversations, I think you're just setting your child up for the possibility for so much more success if you're treating this like a business decision that it is in the first place.
Yeah, I'm going to mention something on that too about the major thing. A lot of high schools now are starting to implement some part of their curriculum where senior year kids can go do kind of internships. Mm-hmm. They fit that into their curriculum. And I can't recommend that enough. You know, somebody thinks they want to be an accountant or an engineer or whatever, a nurse. Go and take advantage of those things if you can fit them in, because there's nothing like being in the everyday, you know, workplace of something that you think you might want to do. Once you get there, and like, you either might be like, I love this, or you might be like, oh my goodness, that's nothing like I thought it was going to be.
Right.
And that can save you a bunch of money.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, or do it when you're in college.
Yeah.
Right? Go shadow somebody and do that, because I mean, we probably both know people who have graduated and really have no idea what their degree is going to, what kind of job they're going to have.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I will tell you, most businesses, I mean, they love kids that are interested in what they do.
Sure.
You know, they're more than well are happy to have them in and say, yeah, absolutely, come on in, we'll share with you how our days go. And I mean, it's just such an important lesson, because so that's one thing about college, it can be a little unfair. You know, kids see like, what are these shows like CSI and all that? Yeah. Well, I want to do that. Well, that might be not be exactly what you're, you know, signing up for, right?
Absolutely. Well, this is a lot of good information, and I hope that it, you know, maybe relieves some of the anxiety that some parents might be feeling about taking on that college planning process and funding college for their children. But you know, these steps will help you avoid that big college debt bill that and burden that a lot of people have right now and that we're dealing with. Who knows? Maybe we'll get some relief in other areas. Who knows? But the one thing you can take care of is yourself. And help in relieve some of these problems down the road for you and your family. So where's a good place to start for people that want to get more information, want to kind of get this ball rolling a little bit, start getting a plan in place?
So we have some great resources just on our website. So that's a really good place to start. But really what you want to do is just get that free college money report. And so it's right there on our website, right linked to this podcast. So click on that. You, as I mentioned before, you are going to need to put in some of your financial information, your student's academic profile, and then you put in their three favorite schools, and it'll go out and it's going to show you your expected family contribution, and it's going to help you begin to compare those different schools, and you'll be able to see if you're eligible for any financial aid or merit aid at those schools, or if it's possible at some of the other schools that you didn't mention. And then with that, we also provide a 15-minute free consultation to review that report and help you determine, you know, if there's some other steps that you can take to help you make a great college choice.
Yeah, and I think a good thing when you're doing that, think outside the box a little bit. Maybe put in like a private college. You're like, oh, that'd be really cool, but I don't think we could ever afford to go there.
Yeah.
You know, put in like a state school that you like, you know, mix it up a little bit, because it's not, I mean, it's free, right?
Right.
It's not going to cost you anything. Go try it out and see what effect your student and family's profile is going to have when you know, look at these different types of schools.
All right, guys. Well, some great information today, and really thanks for taking us through that. Again, yourcollegereport.com, that is the website to get your free college money report. And again, if you want to talk with Dan and Brent a little bit further, the team at Avery Wealth, you can find them online at averywealth.com. Please subscribe to the show. A lot more coming down the pipe, so we appreciate you listening. Guys, thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified professional before taking any action. Avery Wealth, Inc. is a registered investment advisory firm.